Good evening, everybody. It's Thursday, March 2nd. This is 2017, and this is our weekly COS meeting. Okay, thank you, everybody, for coming. And we can continue on with our talk here and ideas and things on this, on forming and reaching out and networking COSs across the nation, which is what this is trying to facilitate. So if anybody has anything on that, feel free. I don't have us in lecture mode, so everybody just, you know, make sure you mute yourself if you're not talking so we don't have a lot of background noise. Otherwise, I got to put it on lecture mode, and then you have to, like, hit, I guess, star 6 or something. Last time I put it on lecture mode, and I didn't have it where you could hit star 6, and I didn't think anybody wanted to talk. So anyway, it looks like we got a pretty fairly decent crowd here tonight. I don't know, you know, if anybody saw, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the news, and it all pertains to everything that's going on, because the COS is, you know, what you're going to do in your communities locally. And I don't, you know, if the national picture had anything to do with locally, it certainly does now more than ever, you know. So they showed what's his name, that avowed communist there, the black fellow Van Jones. Oh, he was so impressed with the Trump speech. Now Trump is president because he was presidential. So there's, you know, Donald Trump has become so popular that now they want to figure out ways of joining the wave, you know. So the point, and his big thing was, his big mantra when he was, you know, he takes, I don't know if you know who Van Jones is, but he has been financed by George Soros for many years to make, you know, to do all these rallies and run these people, these subversive organizations. And of course, they've been fighting tooth and nail against anything that Donald Trump has been doing, you know. And you know, to have him back up and say, "Oh, well, now Donald Trump is president," you know, that's a 360-degree turn for him. But, you know, his mantra was, you know, "Oh, we got to bring the bottom up. You know, we got to bring the bottom up to bring the top down." Now, he was talking about revolution, getting the people out in the streets to riot in order to bring the top down. Now, ultimately, his methodology would have put us under martial law, would have had us all locked down. I mean, the people are stupid. You know, they go to the college campuses and they get these kids burning stuff and turning over police cars. And if you get a hold of them, they don't even know why they're doing it. They can't even answer an intelligent question of why they're there. You know, well, because he's no good. He doesn't like women or something. You know, they have no coherent reasons. But it's all designed to just bring more of the police state. That's what his thing is. So it's going to be interesting to see how this develops now that they understand that there's a public outcry and a public push that is behind this movement of, you know, where the people have said enough of the baloney. You know, we're tired of being taxed to death, and we're tired of not having our liberties. So they can't fight the pendulum is swinging the other way. So look at the other side hasn't given up. They just switching gears, which is what they do best. You know, and that's why you need your committees of safety, because believe you me, they will come up with stuff that, you know, they look like they're on the bandwagon, but then they'll turn it the other way. You know, so right now, you know, what Donald Trump has done is he has brought the top down, and it's coming down more. As people get routed out of government, as the pedophiles get routed out and the offices are open, that creates a vacuum. That's the top down, and we should be bringing the bottom up. We should make sure that we're going in those positions, that we're putting our people in those positions, or we're rising into them ourselves. See, that's the top down. He brought it down. It's up to us now. It's in our reach now. So we gotta come up to meet that. See, that's what we need to do to support those things we like. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't agree with everything that Donald Trump's doing. I certainly don't agree with what everything that Sessions says. I think, he's got some good stuff, but he's got some real, archaic stuff that's not going to work. You can't enforce peace. What do I want to say? You can't police and enforce free will. There's no such thing. And that's kind of that old-fashioned idea about making people do stuff. That's what got us here in the first place. So, you can have it bad on the left or bad on the right. You move too far, either way, you still got a totalitarian government, whether it's on the right or the left, it's totalitarian. They shouldn't be making laws that are governing our behaviors and trying to enforce our free will. We don't need cameras in our bedrooms, We all know what's right and wrong, And it's time to stay active, and it's time to get involved right now. If it was ever easier, it's never been easier than it is now. You should be able to talk to your sheriff. You should be able to get people together and go to your school board meetings and all these other things on the local level that are going to make a difference in your community. And that's what the COS is all about, because you can't, they always say, oh, one man can't change the nation. Well, he has. One man has changed the nation. He's changed it about as far as, he can only go so far. As far as the local stuff goes, that's up to us. And what do they say? People, oh, I don't like to get involved in politics. Well, if you don't get involved in politics, then you're destined to be ruled by your inferiors who do. And that's not my saying. That's Jefferson or one of them guys who said that. So just remember that. It's time to get off the couch and turn the TV off and do something fun for a change. Do something proactive. It should be fun. It should be invigorating to know that you're making a difference in your government, in your town, and in your life. And look at, don't look at the whole nation. Look at your place, your town. I mean, some places are so horrible, you look at it and you say, well, gee, I got to get out of here because there is no redeeming qualities here. And there are places like that where the best thing you can do is move out. But, even in the real horrible places, if the people are all of one mind and they're of one mind, you can take your block, your neighborhood, like in the cities is tough. But look at cities, people in the cities can stick together. In boroughs and things like that. I mean, you can make a big difference in your ward and in your borough if people stick together. And I mean, right now, I think the mood is that it should be very easy to organize. You don't even have to be that good of a speaker. If you just look at, you get up there and you start talking, you'll give courage to those people who really do have skills, and you'll empower them, and they'll come up and they'll help you. They'll meet you. They'll finish your sentences for you, even. You know what I mean? But you got to get up and start. That's what this is about. So I don't know what you want to talk about, or if anybody's got any new and inspiring stuff to tell us about their experiences here lately. But there's certainly an awful lot of stuff in the news, and there's an awful lot of things that we should be doing right now. So I'm going to open up the floor for anybody that's got anything to say, or any questions, or anybody's has a any ideas. So go ahead, have at it. Anybody? Nobody?
Gerard, I have a question about, it's not about the COS. I mean, it could be related. In fact, I imagine it would be related to a COS. It's something I want to look into because I think these, the city council and town councils, I think these people sell off things that don't belong to them all the time. But, and then who knows where the money goes to, and they didn't have the right to sell the stuff, and whoever bought it didn't have the right to buy it. My alma mater sold the radio station, Georgia State University, downtown Atlanta, to NPR. And, I mean, it was a big deal for everyone who liked that station because it was one of the best stations in the city. Anyway, along those kind of lines, this Jason Chaffetz fella out in Utah, I remember over some months you had been discussing how in Utah, one of those western states, that the governor was looking at taking, demanding the lands back from the federal government. And we thought it was a good thing, but then you realized and you reported it to us, you told us about it, that it wasn't actually a good thing because what they wanted to do was be as tyrannical with the land as the federal government was being tyrannical with land. And so now this Chaffetz fellow was going to sell off his land, or they were going to sell their land to some third party, their national park land, after they got it back from the feds. But then there was a big uproar in his state of Utah, and so he backed off of that. So now I'm thinking it's actually a blessing in disguise that the Fed has the land currently until the people learn that their elected and appointed officials should not be selling things that don't belong to them. So my question, there's a question in there, is what's the deal with Chaffetz? Are we pro-Chaffetz? I mean, is NLA pro-Chaffetz? Because there's some videos with him up there, and maybe he's doing other good things. But can you just comment on that and fill in some gaps for me and just take a general stab at it, because I'm pretty much in the dark on it.
Well, I'm not familiar with Chaffetz. Chaffetz is who now?
He's some rep on the federal level, the general government level, in Utah. And there's some videos under the news at NLA. He's up here somewhere. And I haven't clicked on him yet. I've been paying more attention to the Trump stuff. But I did see that he introduced some legislation. He introduced legislation to get their national park land back from the feds, because the feds don't have any business having it anyway. But then there was an uproar in his state because all the people who enjoy the lands found out that he and the rest of the government were going to sell it off to third parties.
Yeah, see, that's bad. And the thing is look, when the federal government had those territories, and once they became a state, they're supposed to turn it over to the people, and the people, i.e. the state. But the state itself is not supposed to own land, just like the federal government's not supposed to own land. The state should be turning it over to the people. They were supposed to sell it to the people for their use in order to offset school taxes and things like that. You know what I mean? So they weren't supposed to just grab this stuff and sell it off to third parties. Parties, that could be Russia, China, that could be anybody.
What is that?
Is somebody saying something?
I think they don't know that they're unmuted. You might should go under.
You know, you're probably going to get different people say different things.
Hang on a minute. Let me mute that. Hang on. Just bear with me a minute here.
That's David.
I'll mute him. Yeah, he's on a phone conversation or something with somebody. So anyway, at any rate, that land isn't supposed to belong to the state. Now, I don't say that they can't have a state park, but that's something that should be voted on by the people. It should be put to a referendum of the people, not that they're just going to go in there. Look, if they sell this stuff off, we have no idea where it goes. You know, where does that money go? You know, and I mean, and it's like a one-time deal. You know what I mean? Oh, we got this land, we got this money. Oh yeah, let's go make some money, and then what? How does that do me any good? You know?
Absolutely, yeah, exactly.
I got an email on something along those lines, but not exactly the same. Hang on just a second here. Let me.
Okay.
They're talking about a two-year congressional investigation that they did under the Obama Department of Justice, you know, what Eric Holder did by making the big banks make direct donations to a Department of Justice slush fund for troubled homeowners after the 2008 financial crash. And the Department of Justice attorneys took $880 million from that slush fund. And the money was intended for troubled homeowners, but they gave it to left-wing political groups like La Raza and the National Urban League. I mean, come on. And then what they did was, now they got some bill called H.R. 522, which they're going to put in that says that they can't do that. And I said, well, why do we need a bill for you to, you know, to tell you not to steal money from us? Well, You know, technically, I guess it was technically legal because they sequestered the money in a slush fund instead of sending it to the Treasury, and the money was outside the congressional and constitutional oversight. So it sits over there. What does that mean? So it wasn't just the Department of Justice. The Environmental Protection Agency squirreled away $6.3 billion from cleanup settlements. You know, and they're saying this money is untouched in untouchable accounts that are outside of congressional review, so no one even knows what the EPA is doing with the money. You know, we know what they're doing. What is they're running roughshod over us with it, you know? But anyway, that's one of the things we got to put a stop to. You know, they can't be selling land off. Look at it, if they're going to sell it to an open sale to the people for the betterment of the community, to lower the taxes, to do whatever they're doing, and they're going to put it out there and put it into the state, where we can actually own it free and clear, you know, that's another thing. But that's not what they're talking about with this state thing. Like you said, they're moving to take it from the federal government. So you got this match, this shoving war between the federal government and the states. At the end of the day, it's no better for you and me. It's from one bully to the next, right? So,
exactly.
So we got to be aware of this stuff. You see, they always bait and switch like that, you know. And one thing that this evil cabal is good at is if we get a victory, let's say we move in a certain direction, you got Donald Trump and we got all this stuff going on, they'll stick back and they'll go, how can we use this to our advantage? Now you got Van Jones going, oh, Trump, he became presidential. He united. He finally, he came our way and he's united us. We told him that he had to unite and he united us. Well, watch out. Watch what the next move is, because that's exactly the ploy that they're going to take to see how they can use this situation to get on top of us again. So we're at a very critical point, and you have to be careful of their little schemes and traps. And one of the ways that you, one of the best ways, I think, is through the COS, because generally speaking, this stuff, who knows about it? The local people are the only ones going to know about it. You know, I mean, whether the federal government's selling it or the states are selling it, most people won't know. It's the local people that'll know. And it's up to the local people to raise hell about it. And, you know, that's where the sheriff has a lot of control. If you have a good sheriff, he could say, oh, no, you know, this is the people's, and he can stop the federal government from doing whatever they're doing on it, you know what I mean? He could say, you can't come here and do that, you know? And he could enforce an injunction on them or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why it's important to stay active locally so you know when these things happen. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. You're right, and it bears repeating over and over and over. I was just going to say, that just to exactly what you said, I guess John put it up. It was earlier in the day, second down under Trump in the news. It was Alex Jones talking about just exactly what you said. And he said, you know, he realized after watching this congressional joint Congress speech that he knew that the liberals and the mainstream media was going to do exactly what Van Jones said, and that they were going to spin it, and they were going to say, yeah, he became more moderate, and they even were giving Ivanka credit that, you know, now he's listening to her and basically saying, and he did say this, that making it sound like Trump can't even wipe his own hinder,
but it was
Trump who did it, you know, it's Trump who left, he left them and never wanted to be a part of them, and now they're trying to just put a spin on it to make it seem like he's more moderate. Anyway, it's just what you just said. But so this idea about outside of congressional oversight, I mean, that's no different than clicking your heels, right? I mean, they don't have any authority to say that. Is that right?
Well, they did remove it out of technically, because there's no rules outside of the Constitution that say what to do with money that's outside of, you know, what either one of those departments can do. So technically it's legal. But you know, that's where local people come in, because it's not out, it's not under, from under our oversight, from the local people. I mean, maybe technically Congress can't do anything about it, right? Or the Treasury Department can't do anything about it. But guess what? You and I certainly can. We're not under those constraints. But we won't be doing anything about it if we don't know about it. We're not active, right?
Right.
So we could do a whole hell of a lot about it. They don't want us to know about it.
Right.
Because,
okay.
You know, look at the local people have the most power. Whether they want us to think that the Fed is most powerful. You get local people screaming, that has the most weight. We have, you know, when the people speak locally, it's just like the state legislator speaks. We have home rule law. When a local town makes a law, it carries the same weight as if the state legislator made it. Look, when a petite jury makes a decision, even the Supreme Court can't overturn it. It's final. It's the highest court in the land. That court of record that makes that decision, in that court, nobody can overturn it. And that's the way it's supposed to be, right? So when something happens on a local level and the local people scream about it, look at it's our land. We're sovereign on our land. So, I mean, even there's still laws on the books that says that if there's land there and you squat on it and you want it, you need and you defend it with deadly force, which means you pull your gun out and chase them off of it, that's a requirement in order for them to say, okay, it's yours. It's actually a requirement that you're willing to fight for it. You know, if I walk up to you and you're in a line and you got a cup of coffee in your hand and I grab your coffee and I walk away and you don't say anything, guess what? That's my coffee, isn't it? if you don't fight me for it and I walk away and then you come back and try to get it from me, guess what? You'll get arrested because if I scream when you go to take it from me and the cop sees you trying to take the coffee from me and you say, well, he just took it from me. Now you got to explain yourself. But if when I come up to take your coffee, first thing you did was pull it back and poke me in the eye. Now you don't have to explain yourself, do you?
Yeah.
You see,
after the fact,
if the lines are blurred, right? So, look, you have to stand up in the beginning. You know what I mean? And so locally, we're way more powerful than they ever want you to believe we are. Because it's in your community, in your place, in your land, and your local people with your local laws really take precedent over everything else. At least they should. Because how can some federal guy tell you on a local level, he doesn't know your town, he doesn't know what's going on there, he doesn't know what's good for you and your neighborhood and your customs and your, you know what I mean, your traditions and all that stuff. That's why our system was designed on the Mosaic system. Nothing got up to Moses and Aaron unless the people couldn't solve it themselves. And they had tens of people, hundreds of people, and thousands of people. That whole committee man system that things went through, where they went and voted and they hashed things out themselves. And if there was an issue that they couldn't work out that affected everybody, then it went up to the top. See, that's just like our court system. You know, you do your local courts, you know, then your state courts, and then your federal courts, because now it's an issue that has to come under the law, the big law. You see, your state constitution is more powerful in your state. I mean, your state constitution has to conform to the federal constitution, which is like, you know, like the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not do this, that. That's the big ones, right? But then when it comes into, you know, what days are we going to do this and what times are we going to do that, that's the local stuff. That's under your preview. That's under you. That's the law that's written in your heart that you take care of with your neighbor. And the federal government has no business going in there. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we got to get back to. We got to get back to running ourselves. We got to stop looking at the government as our father. You know what I mean? We have to be our own people and stop expecting the government to do everything for us. And when you have a gripe with your neighbor, you gotta have enough, you know, integrity and courage and whatever else it takes to go speak to him before you call the police or the government or somebody else in. you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hi. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
How are you, Crystal?
I recognize your little voice above everybody else's in the crowd, Crystal.
Okay, I just want to let you know when I went to the court on Tuesday of this week. This was for the bankruptcy.
Right.
And so again, they said, well, you know, you are here because we're going to sit there because of a settlement. It should be coming up to go. But the attorney who I had originally hired told me, he goes, well, you're not going to get nothing out of the case. So he goes, don't be concerned about it. He goes, I hope I recoup my $46,000. I said, I'm the one who put the whole case together. So anyways, when I went to the court, they asked me, did I still want the original attorney I had to continue the case? He goes, because you're not going to be you. We are you now, and we'll make the settlement, and we will divvy it all up. And
we are you now.
Yeah, I mean, really. So I'm sitting there listening to
them. You say, what am I, the egg man?
I bought my people, and I said, please take the notes and stuff. So when there was time when they called me up there, I did explain to them, I said, the reason why I'm here is because, I said, they perpetrated a fraud, and I said, this attorney who was supposedly representing this so-called company whom I'd never dealt with put their names on my deed. I said, I asked them for a sworn notarized affidavit. When did I sign and take out a mortgage with them on November 11, 2014. I said, wouldn't it be something if I came and put my name on each and every one of your deeds? I said, surely these are all attorneys and, you know, you're a judge. I said, wouldn't there be a problem if I was to sit there and go and put my name on your deed and saying, I said, I'm taking, or I'm putting a lien, and you owe me such and such. Of course you're going to ask me, well, show me the proof. I said, there's no due process, no proof of claim. And I said, by the way, I have my transcript from 2014. And I said, and when I went into the court, the judge said, what do I have to say for myself? I said, I would like to know why I'm here. And he said, I have the copies of my deed. I never took a loan out with them. And so then I turned around, I said to the judge, I said, am I a public servant of this court? He said, no. I said, is this my grand jury? He said, no, he's the grand jury. I said, well, I said, you just committed a treason. I want your resignation. I said, and he threw me out. I said, oh, by the way, here's the transcript of that case. I have all the transcripts. And I said, and also, the attorneys are the debt collectors, and they're also perpetrating a fraud. So I didn't see the expression on their face, but the ones that I bought, they said their faces turned as red as a beet. They were really upset because, you know, and so I was explaining. So the judge said, well, you know, she goes, there is two cases. She goes, I'm just here today for your bankruptcy. And so she goes, well, you know, she goes, it's going to be your decision. I said, well, this could be a substantial amount. And she goes, well, whatever it is, she goes, you know, they can still follow through. And if whatever's left over, she goes, you can get it. So you can get a nice piece of change out of it. I said, well, according to my so-called attorney, he said I wasn't going to get anything out of it, you know. So then I said, well, wait a second. I said, who is this attorney here? So he told me he was representing the trustee, because I didn't know either one. And I said, and who was this other attorney? She said, she is the head over the bankruptcy. And she goes, well, she works for me, so if she sees any kind of discrepancy going on, or if you have any kind of concerns going, that's who, you know, you would speak to pertaining to this matter, you know. So I felt somewhat comfortable with this particular judge. Because she was giving these attorneys the riot act. I never seen nothing like it, but she was doing what a judge should be doing.
Well, you just told her there was fraud on the court.
Sorry?
You just told her there was fraud in the court. She's supposed to stop.
Yeah, well, you know what? She was a good, fair judge because she didn't want to get herself caught up in another mess. Because she put a few of them on the red carpet, and they did not want to deal with her. As a matter of fact, the one who was the trustee over me, you should have saw what she did to him the last time. That's why he didn't come this past Tuesday. Another thing, I was listening to what you were saying, and I said, people need to know their history. And I was sitting there going, I started talking about, I said, people are so blindsided and they just really don't know their constitutional laws or their history. I said, what was the rents and the pay salaries? I said, I'm going back to when I started working back in the 70s. I said, we was making about $1.10, $1.25 an hour. And I said, I'll never forget my senior year in high school. I said, I took economics and political science. And my history teacher said, you know, because we had to learn the government forward and backwards. That's why I really appreciate what I'm learning from you. She goes, your age, we were like 17, 18 years old of age at the time. And they said, every year you work, you're supposed to receive $1 to $1.75 to $1 more per year. So at your age, at 55, what should your salary be? You know? And I was like, you know, so I always followed that. And I said, oh, my God. And I said, when I started working, it was right on target. And by the time, around 81, 82, we was up to like almost $12. And all of a sudden, it stops. You know, they did with the raises and all that other stuff.
Right,
and the unions, what have you. Today's income, and if everybody sits there and goes, like, for example, in the late 60s, the homes were going for $23,000. In the 70s, early 70s, they were going for, like, what, 30-something thousand. In the late 70s, they were going for, like, $46,000, $47,000. In the 80s, they were going, in the early 80s, it was about $60,000. The late 80s, it was approximately almost, like, $80,000 to $100,000. So the cost of living keeps on going up. But what they did, this is 2017, the total wages, minimum wages, should be $49. You know? They brought us back down to the 80s salary. And see, they're all aware of it, the politicians, you know? That's why they're all becoming millionaires, billionaires, and trillionaires. And they're bringing us back to the old salary. It's almost impossible for anybody to survive off of, you know, going back almost 30, 40 years in our income. And every year you work, your income declines, especially when you're retired. And when Crazy Reagan turned around and said, you're getting a pension, you're not going to get Social Security. Well, you worked because normally you get 50% of your pension the year you retire, but every year your pension declines. So when people are not thinking about, like, well, wait a minute, we're all being affected by this. We paid into the system, and it's just like with the lottos. Any state that has a lotto should never have a deficit. People need to know how to read their utility bills, their water bills. Why are we paying a water bill when God gives us the water for free? And they double everything. You got two generations on your water bill. Then we got a WPCA. In our state, a young lady, this was about, I don't know, 12 years ago, she did testing of the water in Connecticut. Connecticut recycles their sewer water with our regular water. Now they're saying, oh, there's too much medicine in the water. When they sit there and launch off these nuclear bombs, like that little nutcase from North Korea, well, 70% of the earth, well, almost 75% of the earth now, is water, and all the bodies of waters are connected. For 1 minute, look at all the whales that just died a few weeks ago. Look at the environmental. All that radiation and nuclear is in all of our water, you know? But it's wonderful because this guy is a nutcase, and I did hear when he had the sheriffs at the Capitol, I guess, what, 2-3 weeks ago. People are starting to think, and he's given a lot of people food for thought. You know, and when I was out today, quite a few people got into the conversation. Then I said, well, you know what? people need to go up to the National Liberty Alliance, learn it for yourself, teach your kids, your grandkids. It should be a part of their school. I said, it's not about me, you, or whatever race. It's about the filthy rich, a little percentage against all the people. So they got everybody fussing and fighting. Nobody's really thinking outside the box. And I said, look at any state that has a lotto should never have a deficit. Look at all the money that they put in for all the new buildings for education. Billions. And the schools were never built. Look at all the funding for the kids, the curriculums, the home economics, recess, phys ed, nutrition. We used to have career every week. We would have learning about different careers or work experience. These kids get absolutely nothing. They want to know why it's a chaos? Well, they designed it to be a chaos. Look at the drug situation. Totally out of control, you know? And I said, I don't care. And a lot of the doctors put these kids on this medication.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, so, it's time to break the cycle, Crystal. That's what this is about.
Exactly. But you know what? Today, as I said, I met about 20 people throughout the course of the day. I was out, and so many people said, you know what, we never thought about that. Yeah. I said, you know, people need to refocus and talk. And I said, you know what? They said, we never thought about that. I said, well, it does make sense, you know, because if they got this person fighting against this person and all this other stuff that's been going on, you know?
You know, I got something. I was never on Facebook, but I'm on now because National Liberty Alliance had a site, and I was kind of forced to go in because in order to get in there to do anything, you have to have an account. So I got an account. Of course, all my kids have accounts, and I hate it because they're always in there crying and moaning, putting all their personal information up there, and I keep hollering at them, you know?
Yeah.
And because that goes out there, and law enforcement, everybody uses it, you know what I mean? They got their whole lives out there. Blah. But anyway, I go on, and I get this stuff. And there's a group of people here. They were Ron Paul people, very conservative type people, libertarian stuff, and including one of my nephews. And they were all against Ron Paul. But, you know, against Donald Trump. And I didn't think Donald Trump was a good choice, you know, when he decided to run. Before it got down to him and Hillary, basically, I said, you know, this guy is a corporate guy that's been doing corporate stuff all his life, and we've been around the world with our economic hitmen decimating every society, you know, going in, toppling governments, using our American imperialism basically to take over their and decimate their resources, and then, you know, ruining basically their economies, and not for us, but for the World Bank, for the IMF, ultimately is where it ends up going, for the Rothschilds. I said, is that who we want to represent America? You know, and Russia, when Putin took over Russia, the economic hitmen had them decimated. They had 7 robust businesses there. When Putin came in, there was only 5, and he barely saved those. So he understands what the economic hitmen were. And I said, boy, we're going to put a corporate guy up. What's Putin must think about that? I mean, he must hate us, you know, because that it was all England and American corporations that went over there and decimated everything, you know, in the name of privatization and all this other baloney. You know, when he came into office, there was a nuclear class submarine sitting in the dock idling with its nuclear powered reactors running. He said, "What's this?" He said, "What's this doing here?" They said, "Well, it's done." He said, "Well, why is it here? How come the military doesn't have it?" He said, "We didn't get paid for it," they said. He said, "You bring that over there right now." He said, "You'll get paid for it as soon as I raise the taxes. You bring it over now, or I'll send the army over, and I'm going to take it." And he did. But you see, that's the kind of stuff that was going on under the name of capitalism and corporate. You see, they take a good thing, and they take it to the other end to where it's bad. But anyway, besides that, you know, he was coming in, and I didn't think he was such a good guy. But as the And I didn't watch any of the debates, but except for the last one. When I watched what was going on, and I heard all the baloney that was going on, and the Pizzagate, and this and that, it came down to two choices, good versus evil. You know, it was a no-brainer for me. Whoever voted for the left...
I wouldn't put my fifth in... They're all evil. I wouldn't put my fifth in trust in another one. And another thing...
No, but here's the difference. Look it. When he stood up there and he said, look it, if you vote for Hillary, you get a murderer. You see, that's the difference. I understand that he's a corporate guy and he's got this and that, and I don't agree with everything. But he's up there and he's talking about the law. He's talking about God. He's talking about what our heritage is versus Hillary. There's no who are you going to put in, Crystal? You going to put in Hillary? Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is a socialist,
Wait a minute. Look at Trump's father. Trump's father and Adolf Hitler were good friends too. And another thing, I personally see listening to all because I love history. Mm-hmm. Trump is not a sharp dude. I think he don't got more of an IQ than Bill Bush, George Bush. I said, but he surrounded himself with people that taught him out what to do. But he has no loyalty. He's a spoiled rotten brat who always got his way. You know?
As long as he sticks to the Constitution, I don't care.
But again, he has his crazy little interior motive, you know? I wouldn't trust him no more than I could trust the man in the moon. I don't trust Hillary, George, none of them. Because,
if she would have won the election, we would have been done.
Right now, with his crazy mouth and all the mess that's going on around the world and all this racial tension, now look at all the Jewish synagogues, the mosques, they're destroying the graveyards, they got the Mexicans, the...
Yeah, but that was going on when Hillary was there then. That's not Donald Trump's fault.
The point of it is when he was even like one of the supremacist groups and stuff like that, you know?
That's all paid for.
When I sit there and deal with children day in and day out, and it's so heart-wrenching when we hear adults, we are supposed to lead by example. And there is no excuse on this godly earth when God gave us everything for anyone to sit there and talk. Keep your opinion in his mouth. It's terrible what's been happening, you know? And I don't care who it is. You're right, you're wrong, you know? And as I said, for his mouth to sit there and when he's sitting there threatening, it's just like when he has made accusations about that from North Korea, ISIS and the Muslims and all this stuff. I said, why is he doing this, you know? And I have to commend that when all those, when they were vandalizing the stones on the news, it had how the Muslims collected $91,000 for the Jewish graveyards to be restored. Be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker on things, you know, because, again, he is not the sharpest tool in the shed. He surrounded himself by people to get over on people, but what he did, even during the election, I said, my God, all these people that ran against him, and they just dropped off like wildflowers, you know.
They're not in the same league. They're not.
Right.
They're
not in the same league.
Makers and Trump is. I think we've talked too much on this item.
Yeah, I do too, because we're getting too political here. But what I'm telling you right now is. We have a lot of opportunity now, whether you like him or you don't like him. Look, we at National Liberty Alliance, we were trying to help kids with CPS and all this, and we got evidence of pedophile rings that run right into the White House,
right up to
Obama. Now you can't tell me that's what he's for, because he's not, because that's what's getting routed out right now. So love it or hate it, if he just gets rid of. He just gets rid of these evil, evil pedophile rings that are up there that are decimating our children.
That's horrible.
That's what we're going to pay for. We're going to pay for not taking care of our children. That's what we're going to be punished for, is that. And if we do nothing else but that, that's enough to save us, I think, because it's been too much, too long. And like you said, look, you're out there, you're beating the pavement, you're talking to people. That's what the COS is about. That's what everybody on this show, this here thing should be doing. We should be out there. We should be talking to our neighbors. We should be directing them to the website. We should be setting up committees of safeties in our communities, because it has to happen at a local grassroots level. So,
Also, I told you about, I've been speaking to those principals and superintendents, so we're going to try to get the program to going in these schools. Another thing, what we got accomplished this past week, I'm going to meet with one of the directors who the students for college, and I said, make this part of their work experience curriculum. I told John has mentioned, so she's so excited about that. I have to go in the hospital tomorrow, but I'm going to be meeting with her next week so we can get the students and stuff started.
You know what, Crystal? Three or four years ago, those people wouldn't even talk to you. If you went into schools and you told them you want to put in a constitutional program, they'd kick your butt out of there. They have been so locked out. The fact that you're going in there and you got this woman excited about putting these programs in and this work experience just goes to show you the change in the nation and the attitude. They've gotten three or four generations of children already. It's going to take time to put that back. We have to rebuild this nation so that we have people that are, well, look, I'm getting old, you're getting old. We're not going to be around much longer. But we have the knowledge. We have the knowledge. And I don't want to go too long. I have another thing I got to go to, and it's 10:04. And I'm sorry that, you know, well, nobody else spoke up, so you and I did it, Chris. A couple people did, but that's it.
And see, I've been dealing with education and stuff for the past 40-some years.
So, you know what? That's very, very high on the peg here. If you can get in and make a change in the school systems and in the curriculum, because that's where they killed us with this thing. They've killed us because they've stolen our children. And they've stolen them so bad that they're actually dealing with them like cattle. They got them in pedophile rings. They're dealing with, you know, we're all cattle, but our children, they're really dealing with them. It's disgusting.
And I'm dealing with bilinguals and stuff right now, too. So I got another young man tonight, and he's really interested. He speaks Spanish.
Your drive and what you do is a good example for everybody here that you can go out and you can use your voice and talk. You know, I got another thing, another good one. Somebody came in my email from this woman in Long Island. She said, sticky pads, to carry them with you and put notes and stick them all over the place. That's a great idea.
Put an idea
on a sticky pad and stick it someplace, because what you're doing is you're planting seeds. And, you know, they've been putting sentences and words into our heads and our minds through the media forever, for a long time now. And that's one thing Trump did. He said, you're the enemy. You're fake news. You know what that's worth? Because that's what the problem is. They've been brainwashing you, because even if you don't believe it, if you see it 100 times a day, you know what? Your subconscious mind believes it. If I just flash a sentence in front of your face 100 times a day, every day, at the end of the year, at some point I'm going to ask you a question, and guess what? You're going to throw that sentence back at me because it fits, and you don't even know why you did that.
And
because
you know what?
That's a form of brainwashing.
But he is right on that. And it was just like one of the incidents with the meetings, board meeting. So this is what the parents and all. I said, well, you know what? Since the media don't report what's on there, and I said Trump was right about that, I said, use parents, use your cameras. So whatever they say, you can put it on Facebook saying, no, this is what was said.
Oh, another thing before we go, because I don't want to go too late, because I'm going to be late, I can see. But they just ruled, I got a thing, a blurb on a Supreme Court ruling that says that it is absolutely your right to videotape public officials, cops and stuff. They've always been playing with that, but the Supreme Court ruled it's an absolute right. I mean, it always was, but now we have a ruling that says it is.
Great.
So that's something that you should know, that's an absolute Supreme Court ruling. So when these guys say, turn the camera off, no, you don't have to turn the camera off.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Okay?
Yep.
So I don't want to go much longer. It's been about an hour, and I got another engagement here that I got to go to. I'm sorry. I don't know if anybody else had anything, but if you did, save it for next Thursday or even Monday. You can bring it up on the Monday call. That's a good place for some of this stuff. We should bring our ideas into that Monday call, because that's a national call. So anything good that's happened to you or any ideas you have, you know, try to get them in on the Monday call also. You know what I mean? Because
that takes too long. I fall asleep. You know, if I get on the beginning, I could do it.
Well, you know, anybody here can get a hold of me or somebody else if you got a question and you definitely want, you know, you should get a hold of me ahead of time and say, look, I got this. I want to bring it out Monday. Make sure I get in the queue. Make sure you pick me or email it to questions so that Jan says, oh, we got something here from Crystal. It's this. You could do that. If it's something that you feel is really important that you want to make sure it gets in, you guys are on the inside. You should be able to get that to us so that it comes out on the Monday call. We even give you time to start. Yeah.
There's one I forgot to share with you on this before I forget. And I, you know, when you file for bankruptcy and whenever they want to take the case, guess what I just found out?
Wow.
I can appeal everything, and when I go back, it's like when they said I have to pay everybody off for my settlement, I found out I can file an appeal against them, and they all have to know due process and proof of claim. And if they can't prove it, and I'm going to do the sworn notarized affidavits, all that all over again with the attorneys and all, if they can't prove it.
They're going to hate your guts. They're going to hate your guts. Because in other words, what you're going to do, you're going to go in and you're going to say, show me your proof of claim.
Yeah.
And they don't have it. But they haven't been showing it to you all along. So you're going to do it on the appeal.
Yeah.
And that's going to push them out even further. I mean, really, that should end it, really, technically.
I think
but,
so.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
That's wonderful. Okay, well, thank you, everybody. Have a good night. Thanks for coming.
Okay.
Good night. We'll see you next week. Good night.